Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell with ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air. Once again with the show You Got This. It's a show of DIY do's and don'ts. And hopefully I'm not mumbling because I have a Halls in my mouth because I've got a little bit of a sore throat and a little bit of a head cold right now, but not enough to keep me away from work. I think it's day 5 right now of this thing, and it just can't seem to get rid of it. But I'm here, and I'm with Rosalie Brown. I'm like, I forgot to introduce you. She's on the air with me right now. So yeah, and my brain's not working so well. I have to gloat a little bit. I'm not going to brag. My wife tells me not to brag, but we just got back from Italy, and it was really fun. Got back on Monday. And managed to go to the country where her family's from. Her father immigrated about 110 years ago to San Francisco, had a restaurant in the 20s on Divisadero, like I think on Fell. So yeah, that was cool for her to kind of get a sense of, she's never been to Italy, so that was kind of cool. A little bit of the Sanguinetti history. But how are things with you, Rosalie?
Well, I didn't go to Italy this week, but I did, if you recall, when our saga went on pause, I was going to Texas. I was going to Texas. And that we had just lived through a hurricane, right? I mean, we didn't, of course, right? But we had the hurricane that just happened. And I got to Texas, and the weather was incredible. And when I was asking why the weather was so incredible, like, why is there no humidity? Why is this amazing? And some people thought that it had to do with the intense weather that had just happened in Florida was kind of impacting like weather patterns, you know, because I was in an interesting place in the United States. So I had amazing weather and safe travels, and it was much easier than having to fly across the globe. Although the sights I saw, while very cool, were not exactly the same as what you guys were
exposed
to.
We're a little different. Yeah, I mean, I saw, art from the Roman era, from Mesopotamia to Michelangelo to, it was pretty over the top. And then the food, oh my God. Why can't we, we would just go to random restaurants and have pasta and salad that was amazing and a $13 bottle of wine, right? You just can't get that here in the States. But yeah.
Well, how did you, this is a serious question, because the older we get, you know, the more, how should I say this delicately, the more, I guess, delicate our systems get. So did you guys have did you notice your body responding any differently? Because the food, I would assume, is much richer and kind of sourced differently than what we eat here in the States. So did you guys kind of notice anything there, or was it easy?
Ironically, things were better. Like Betty has a kind of an intolerance to milk products, and so we stopped using milk in our coffee. But you know, we're in a foreign country, and sometimes we were in smaller towns, so you know, trying to order an oat milk cappuccino or whatever, some places we could get those, in the cities we could get those, but in some of the smaller towns you couldn't get that. And we would just have regular milk with our lattes. And even I had a little bit of an intolerance to milk products. Zero problems.
Oh, see, I
don't know
if
the milk is different or what. Yeah. But no, I just quite the opposite. Things were, you know, because things are just so fresh. And like the vegetables are so green and so red and so vibrant. And oh my God, we had one meal. A pomegranate salad with pomegranate seeds with carrots, celery, and radishes with just a little bit of lime juice or a little bit of citrus and a little bit of olive oil and some salt. Oh my God.
Really?
So good.
Really?
Really simple stuff like that.
Well, and maybe that's why your body responded to it so well, because I think that there is something to, and I'm no dietitian, as you know, I treat my body like it's a like it's an old abandoned building.
Not the vessel.
right. I mean, it pretty much is like an old abandoned skate park or something. But but I think that this, the more simple, you know, I mean, that's kind of what they talk about, right? Is like, that's why a lot of people are on the Mediterranean diet, because it's based on very simple stuff. So then my question is, so you guys you don't feel like you guys packed on a bunch of weight while you were gone? Because I do know you did a lot of cycling too. So
ironic. Yeah. Okay. So again, so we stayed in one place where it was just a bike tour. It was basically a cruise ship type of thing. We'd leave we'd get up, they'd feed us. We'd go for a bike ride. We'd come back. They'd feed us. We'd go take a nap. They'd feed us. And the wine was flowing. The food was flowing. And, you know, so at that point, and, you know, dessert and everything, even though we were riding 40 miles a day, I think my stomach, I felt it got bigger. We didn't have a scale, so that was beneficial. So, but I could, you know, when you lay on your side and all of a sudden your stomach starts to hit the bed when it didn't used to hit the bed, and you're like, oh, wait a second, what's going on there? So I think even though we were cycling so much, but the food was outrageous. But after that, some friends went straight home and they said, yeah, they gained like 5 or 6 pounds. But they told us that way we were still there and we'd spent another week. And so Betty and I started just having 2 meals a day as opposed to like 4 and not going back for seconds and, you know, only splitting a gelato instead of having one each. Right. And so, yeah, we started watching what we ate a little bit better. And yeah, we came back and I'd gained like a pound. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
And it was just from walking. It wasn't when we weren't doing a lot of intense exercise after that. We were just, you know, walking around town. It's maybe doing, you know, 3 to 5 miles a day or sometimes 7. But yeah, but oh my God, the food was just ridiculous. Just amazing.
So I bet that you guys are going to have an interesting Thanksgiving, maybe some Italian inspired dishes. Who knows, right? I mean, you know, I like to look at it like that. Like, what did you learn? Like, what did you take away? I will say this.
I want to make the pomegranate salad.
Well, that's
pomegranates
really
are hard to process, right?
Sure.
To be able to get that much out of them. But I'm like, right, man, I got to do that because that was just ridiculous. It was so good.
Well, I mean, I really, before we get into the topic, because this will segue, I promise, but I'm going to take you back to Texas for a minute so that we can get to the chicken,
right,
to the coyote and to all the amazing adventures in my life. I've become like a wildlife explorer. I moved to an urban environment and now I'm like surrounded by like wildlife, but just crazy. So
well, you live on an interface though. You're not exactly, you're in an urban area, but there's an interface at the fence, right? Where you have thousands of acres that are kind of semi-wild.
I have plenty of coyote stories to regale you with, but I don't want to get off topic. Okay, because now I'm thinking about all the coyote encounters since I saw you last. There's been several, and some of them have been not at my own home. It's been like walking the street, so that's been fun.
Right.
I mean, like, it's crazy. Anyway, so I really think that like when you go somewhere, you should take a piece of, you know, you take. Exchange, right? Like take a piece of you to the place and then bring a thing back. So when I went to Texas to visit people, I brought a little bit of myself. So there was some screwball peanut butter whiskey that was was brought. And that was well received. I have now converted more people in multiple states. But one of the things that was so cool when I was in Texas is that, and that's what gave me the idea for the show, because we keep talking about plumbing and electrical and HVAC, and that's all fun and but like some cool projects, right? So went to stay with my friends and they had this really cool chicken coop in the back, and they had reinforced their little chicken enclosure because next to said coop there was a bunch of, let's just say, feathers everywhere. And so I had asked what happened here? Because it looked like there'd been some activity. And that's when my friend shared stories about the coyote in Texas and how they were coming for the chickens. So everywhere I go, I've got coyote on the mind. But you know, kind of chickens and homesteading and all that stuff has become like really, I don't want to say wildly popular, because maybe it's always been popular and I'm just becoming attuned to it.
Right. But aware of it. Yeah.
I was never like a chicken person. I mean, I eat chicken. You know, I don't think we've got a lot of vegans on the show, but that listen to the show, but like I've always eaten chicken and I've never been mean to an animal, but I never saw I look at chickens.
The allure of having chickens. Fun pets.
I guess.
We've had chickens. Yeah. I grew up in San Francisco and my teacher, he would bring chickens into our school in the Mission District because he lived in Pacifica and he had chickens in his place in Pacifica. Now he lives, actually, I followed him up here. He lives up here now. But he had chickens in Stanford, in Pacifica. But he did. I got a good story. This is good because it kind of ties in with what you used to do too. So every once in a while you get a rooster, right?
Oh yeah.
And this is back in the 70s, so you know this is a long time ago. But he wasn't sure what to do with this rooster, and he didn't really want to just break its neck. So he brought it to school, and then went to San Francisco Zoo, and went on the other side of one of the enclosures for some of the more, you know, aggressive animals, and oh, chucked the rooster over the fence into the zoo. I won't name his name on the radio, but I love that story. He told it to me probably when I was like 20 or something. We've been friends. He and my parents were friends, and I've known him forever. He was my eighth grade teacher. So yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. So what to do with a rooster? Yeah, chuck him over the fence into the enclosure at the zoo.
That wasn't where I thought we were going with this. Wow. Okay. Like, yeah. All right. I have zoo stories too. I've got coyote. I've got zoo. I've got waterfowl. I've got all kinds of stories. I will not take us off topic. I will bring us right back to the chicken coop.
Okay. So yeah. So you brought this up in, you know, in my sleep deprived brain right now. I've been up since 3 a.m. So hopefully I kind of will be able to get through this, and I, sorry if I bore you guys, but yeah, a chicken coop is kind of ideal thing to have if you have chickens, especially if you're not even in an urban environment. God, Christ, I've got friends that my family lives at the base of Bernal Heights, and they see coyotes all the time in San Francisco. And they're in the financial district now since COVID. So you get coyotes and raccoons that get into your chicken coops.
And fox, so, yeah, and all kinds of, so really
if you have chickens, they're going to find a way in. And if you don't have some kind of, not necessarily a fortress, but some kind of structure to keep them out. And we were just actually, ironically, we were talking about it this morning with one of our technicians. He just bought six chickens yesterday, chicks, because he had to replenish his flock because a raccoon went in and got his last egg laying chicken. So he was a little upset about it. So he got six, just, you know, you got to work the odds, right? Make sure you at least get one or two layers.
It's a sad truth, right? But I also have seen a lot of really cool, on like the DIY websites and the DIY shows, I've seen a lot of really cool projects where people have created these really cool looking coops that actually have some curb appeal, believe it or not. And so I always think it's kind of a neat, it's almost like an accoutrement in your backyard, right? Like, so you could really have a cool setup, and you could have it. I've actually seen people, believe it or not, convert old children's playhouses. So like if you had kids that had that really cool play structure, you know, more like a tree housey type play structure.
Right.
I've actually seen people that have gone in and like refurbished that, so that that's their chicken coop, their chicken house.
The house, and then put the pen around it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the pen is where the predators get into. If you can get that house secure and lock your ladies up at night, you're okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what are some basic things that you would assume would be needed if you're going to go for it and build a chicken coop. Let's be honest. This is project season. You guys, we have a small window, small window. Let's get the projects that are
interesting. Because we were talking about this off air. It's like this, why are we talking about this? Well, this is the time of season where, you know, you got 60 degrees, 65, maybe 70 degree weather during the day, as opposed to 80, 90, 100 degrees. So it's time to get outside and start doing some projects where you can actually wear jeans and shoes and not worry about cutting your toe off or having a 2x4 land on it or cutting your leg or something. So you can actually go out and do some of these more challenging kind of projects. And building a chicken coop can be, it could be as simple as, like you say, upcycling a play structure and putting some stakes and putting some chicken wire around it and making sure you got a nice little pen for them to hang out and a little house for them to put in at night. Because let's be honest, the majority of the time that you're going to lose your chickens is going to be in the evening. You know, the magic hour as dusk starts to set, the sun starts to set, and then throughout the night, they're going to be trying to find ways in there. So you want to make sure you've got some kind of structure that keeps the fox, keeps the raccoons, keeps the skunks, keeps the coyotes out, And even, you know, and I know we had a, we used to live up on top of Intermountain Lookout, and our neighbor built a chicken coop up there. And she went over the top because everything up there, it's, you know, you've got bears, you've got bobcats, you've got coyotes. And she ended up with a concrete pad cyclone fence all the way around to the top with a structure inside, and the bear still got in there. So if you're up on top of Banner Mountain, you may not really want to have chickens, you know, when you're, when you've got access to the ditch from your property. Yeah, that wasn't a great place to have chickens as far as I was aware. But if you're in a normal space, you know, Rough and Ready, or even Grass Valley, even Nevada City on Banner Mountain, where you're, you know, Deer Creek Park or something, that's, we actually had a coop in Deer Creek Park. The main thing is getting a structure that can keep them out at night. So a roof over the pen is really ideal. And then a solid structure that they can sleep in, so that the and a door that you can close so that the coyotes, but mainly if it, the hole that they can get into, a coyote's not going to get into that, but skunks will, raccoons will, minks will, you know, all these little critters that like to eat chickens because chickens taste good, right? Everything tastes like chicken. Is good. And you actually found a really good DIY plan on how to build this thing, and this thing is really sweet. So it's got a structure on it with a roof and then a pen around it that has chicken wire with a door and another roof over it. And I've actually seen people take something like this and put wheels on the side of them and then make it like a wheelbarrow, so you can move it around your yard so that, you know, they can eat up all the stuff in one section of the yard and then move it around. If you're really worried about them getting loose, but you can't just let them loose during the day. I know our neighbor has, I think they have like 10 chickens, but they just let them loose all day and then put them in at night on the end of Butler Road. So yeah, this thing will accommodate 6 to 8 chickens, features this 4x6 coop and a 6x10 chicken run. So I didn't realize you can get, that's kind of a small space for 6 to 8 chickens, but I guess that's plenty fine because you're feeding them most of the time. You're not relying on them to feed themselves. And a good place for them to hang out and get a little sun and be outside, and a good place for them to hide. So, and what are chicken, how much are chickens? I just found out this the other day, you can get a chick for $3.
So you can get a live chick for $3?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, but you're, I know nothing about chicks except the store end of the situation.
Right.
So let's remove that.
Right.
So people are buying chicks so that they can lay eggs, so that they don't have to buy eggs at the store.
Well, also, I mean, we had them, so you don't, they're completely green, right? I mean, they're, no hormones, none of the bad stuff that you could possibly get from.
So what you're saying is you grew
they're
chicks.
Organic.
Okay. So you grew organic future meals is what you're saying to
right.
me.
Right.
Ew.
We didn't actually eat the chicks, but we had the eggs for them from them, which is really nice. And they taste, they're quite a bit better than the eggs that you get at the store. You can notice the difference.
Okay.
And you know what you're feeding them, right? And they're a little happier than the cage-free, quote-unquote, chickens
I buy at the store, yes.
Right. They say they're cage-free. That just means they're not in that little itty-bitty box. They actually have a place to run around a little bit, and they're still in a house overcrowded and, filled with hormones and all kinds of fun stuff.
I'm not here to fight for animal rights because I've done that in my prior life. I'm not on this. I'm not here to do that.
Right. And it's chicken, I like white meat, and they developed these chickens that can barely walk, but they taste good.
Listen, I've given back to the animal kingdom. Okay, I've got my own little nonsense happening right here. So listen, my karma's good. I don't know how much time we have left, but, you know what, it might be really great to remind people that what I'm going to do is, in addition to you kind of doing a quick run through on the materials, cause it's always nice to get a little quick. When you're done with that though, I'm obviously going to put visual access to this up on Facebook and on our website, just because then you can see if you're interested in this, you'll have links. But it is nice to kind of run through it verbally. You know, I feel like give me a clue of how many materials we're talking about. then we can have the actual plans up for you too. If interested, you can take a look, you can download, you get some ideas. But
that's great. And thanks for saving me, because I was losing myself. My brain is not working great.
I saw it.
You saw the glazed look in my eyes?
I did. You got all excited about chicks and eggs and dinner, and you're like, I'm ready to go for a nap. So I'm bringing you back. What's kind of the overall, do they have like a little supply list you might consider when you're looking at creating your own little chicken oasis?
They have a good supply list here. Yeah. So to build this structure, they use a lot of 2x4s. So, and 2x4s are relatively expensive. They have 48 12 foot 2x4s, two 12 foot 4x4s for the ends, five sheets of T111, one sheet of OSB, one sheet of half inch ply, 16 1x4 to just trim, three rolls of 4x25 foot hard wire cloth, one roll of 3x25 hard wire cloth, sheets of corrugated metal for the roofs, a bunch of screws and some nails, some fender washers for attaching hardware cloth. You can also use staples. And two 18x23 shed playhouse windows if you want to put some windows in there, and one 12x18 playhouse window for back of coop to provide cross breeze. And you can actually, you know, you could get the playhouse windows, or you can actually even just build them yourself out of the plywood. And this is a pretty nice situation.
I know. I was imagining when you were saying windows, I'm like, dang, that's solid. That's like really nice.
And they actually used real windows. So this is for the person that wants to spend a little bit of money and make something that looks really nice to have in their backyard. Mine did not look this nice, because I basically used scrap plywood from Jobs and just kind of put something together that would keep the chickens out of the weather, and put a light in there for the winter to keep them warm. But this is really nice. This is a really nice setup for your chickens, and you'll have plenty of eggs throughout the season. And it's kind of fun to have little chickens. And, you know, it was really, we got them for our kids. And once the kids got a little older, we didn't have chickens anymore, just because, you know, they're a little bit of work to take care of, but it's kind of nice. Now I just have friends with chickens, which is that's like the best. Right?
You can go visit them. Yeah.
It's kind of like a friend with a boat, right? You don't necessarily want to own a boat.
Exactly.
But if you got a friend with a boat.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Great. Like I've got a passport and I can travel anywhere. I don't have to have all the toys. I just have to know the people that have the toys. That's my big thing. Okay.
So we'll include this project on our website. With all the pictures and videos and everything on the how-to, because this is a fun little project. And especially if you've got kids, because this is something you can involve your kids in to build with them, because this is one of those projects that it's basically a box, so it doesn't take a lot of carpentry skills. So and not a lot of tools. I mean, you know, a skill saw, jigsaw, and if you got a table saw or a chop saw, that's great, but you don't even necessarily have to have those two things. But on that note, if you need other thing that's different than this, such as a plumber, electrician, or an electrician, or HVAC for heating or air, you can reach us at 530-230-9092. That number again, 530-230-9092. You can find us on the web at easyasabt.com or abtplumbing.com. You can find us on Facebook, where we'll also be sharing this, I'm assuming. Yep. I look at you and like I'm making stuff up. But yeah, we'll be sharing on our Facebook page, so you can find it there. And on that note, hope you guys have a great week, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.